1 John 5, verses 18 and 19, these are God's words. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So far the reading of God's word. Verse 18 is very similar to chapter 3, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Then verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, that is God's seed, remains in him. He cannot sin because he has been born of God. And so with that already in the letter, we can understand more easily that this means that it's talking of the new nature, that which is in us, that is from Christ by his Spirit. And of course, our new nature cannot sin. That which is from the Lord in the new birth is that which loves the Lord, that which is from the life of Christ in union with him. It's exciting to know. It's a delight and encouragement, a strengthening to know that who we are in our essence, if you are in Christ, does not sin. But then it can be shocking and concerning and disturbing because you still do sin often. Well, how can this be? Well, it's because there is still that which remains in you from your former nature. So there is that in us which is from the Lord that has its birth from God. And then there is that which in us which is from us in our original nature, from our former self. And this should make us be all the more determined to fight against our sin. We have that which is in us that is from God that is going to be forever. We have that which remains in us that is from ourselves. And we have the opportunity, by the exercise of our will and by carefulness in our thoughts and our choices, to side with one or the other. Why would we possibly side with our former self, with that which comes from us, that which is sinful? How shall we indulge that wickedness? Well, there is then this encouragement then, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. Now, in other manuscripts that ended up being recovered, ancient though they were, in especially the 19th century, and as a result, the critical text translations in English, they say, he who is born of God keeps him, instead of he who has been born of God keeps himself. It turns it into Jesus being the one who is born of God and keeps the Christian. Now, that's true to some extent, but that is not what the text, the Greek text throughout the age, used in the church throughout the ages, that the Lord has preserved pure and entire, as we confess, says, and it's not the point that is being made here. He says, he who has been born of God keeps himself. He's acknowledging that there is that which remains in us from our former nature. If we said we had no sin, we would make God to be a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now he tells us one of the instruments by which we are cleansed, by yielding to, indulging, siding with our new nature. That nature that we have that is from God, how do you think it responds to the fact that there is remaining sin in us? Well, he who has been born of God keeps himself. The work that we do in disciplining our thoughts according to Scripture and our feelings and our desires according to Scripture and battling against the sinfulness that remains, killing the old man, giving him no air, giving him no food, giving him no leave, giving him no quarter, not tolerating anything that comes from our former nature, not tolerating the smallest bit of it. All of that is something that our new nature is engaged in doing because it's from God, and God is against our sin, and that part of us that is from him, therefore, is against our sin. So we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself. And then there's this wonderful truth and the wicked one does not touch him. The devil can attack us, but he cannot make our new nature sinful in any way, shape, or form. He may present to us temptations. He may take advantage of that sin which remains in us that is in our former nature. But what an incentive to strengthen the new man and to weaken the old man. It's the old man that Satan can have an effect upon. He can attack us as a whole person in many different ways. We see him do that, of course, with Job. And he does have quite an effect upon Job, taking advantage of Job's remaining sin and all of these doubts about whether God is really dealing with him according to grace, and that we see throughout that book. Those don't come from the new nature, the new man. And so there is a part of us that Satan can affect, that he can play with, that is within his grasp, like we're going to think about in verse 19 with respect to the world. Why would we let that part of us have more life or more strength or more prominence in our mind or in our heart? And so what an encouragement. The evil one cannot touch my new nature in Christ. He cannot touch my new self. Praise God. Shouldn't I then want to be as much as possible my new self, my new nature, and leave as little as possible of what is originally from me? And this, as we see inwardly in our own hearts, we also ought to see outwardly in the world. The whole world lies under the sway and the grasp of the wicked one. Does not care. Why? Well, they don't have a new nature. So it doesn't bother them that they do not know God, acknowledge God, love God, glorify God, worship him. But we are of God. We know that we are of God. So we have this battle. And it's a very encouraging description of the battle that we're given here. The rest of the world does not have this battle. And this gives us at least two applications of the rest of the world. One, that we would not share a mindset with them, that we would not want to give credence to the way the world thinks about God, the way the world thinks about sin, the way the world thinks about righteousness. It lies in the grasp of the wicked one. It's going to, indulging the way the world thinks and feels and desires and chooses, is the same as indulging the way our former nature, that which remains from our flesh, thinks and feels and desires and chooses. And so on the one hand, there ought to be a great carefulness to see those places where the world lying in the grasp of the wicked one has affected how they view things. But the other application is not to be afraid of the world. For true, the world lies in the grasp of the wicked one. But who shall win? Is the question of who shall gain the victory? Is the answer to that question any different with respect to the distinction in the world than it is to the distinction within ourselves? No. Who shall win within ourselves? Well, the wicked one cannot touch the new man in Christ, the new nature. And so as we're engaged in this battle between that which is from God, that which is the Christian's nature, and that which is from ourselves, that which is from our former nature, as we're engaged in this battle, we know which one wins. It is the one who is born of God that is forever. But also, when we look at a world that lies under the sway of the wicked one, yes, it is in his grasp, but it is not properly his. And Satan does not win. And so, on the one hand, you do want to be very careful about the way our thoughts or feelings or desires, choices, priorities, etc., would be affected or infected. It is not a carefulness that is born out of fear. It is a carefulness that is born out of allegiance and confidence. Allegiance to Christ and confidence that the sway of the wicked one, to use the language of the New King James here, is temporary. He loses. And so it is proper and appropriate for the Christian to see, just as we want to be very clear within ourselves, that which is coming from our new nature, that which is coming from Christ, and then that which is coming from our former nature, that which is coming from ourselves, we want to see that very clearly in the world as well, and not blur those lines. When we blur those lines, we hinder ourselves in a right view of God, right view of ourselves, right thinking, right feeling, right choosing. So may the Lord give us to see clearly about ourselves and about the world, and to choose well. We ought to be disgusted and horrified and strongly resolve that we will not indulge the flesh, that part of us that the wicked one can touch, that part of us that is not from God, that part of us that does sin. Let us not give any more time or any more life to that. Let's pray. And we thank you, our Father in heaven, that you have given us birth from God by your Spirit in your Son. Now grant to us to be as those who are born of you, and to keep ourselves from sin, to keep ourselves from the wicked one. We thank you that he cannot touch our new nature, cannot make it sinful, cannot corrupt it, but that this new nature shall certainly prevail until our new self in you is all that remains, because you will have done away with our former self when we are done in this world. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to see clearly that the whole world that is outside of Christ lies in the grip of the wicked one, so that we will no more want to be, or no more permit to be polluted by the world than we will permit to be polluted by our former nature. Help us, Lord, because even as we say these things and read these things and understand these things, and it makes complete sense and we see how irrational it would be to continue sinning, yet we, like the other apostle, see how often the thing that we want to do, we didn't do, and the thing that we hated, we did. And so we pray that your Spirit would lead us in putting to death that which remains from our former self. Thank you that this is the very thing that he does according to your word. And so keep your promises to your servants in this household, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.